not going to make the step until I know. And you're sitting on the fence when what you really don't know is that you've made a decision already. And that decision that you make is in this game of life. And you make it every day when you wake up. You say, am I going to turn left and follow left, or am I going to stay right like I've been doing? And you know, in doing that, there's a torture game, a torturing thing that they do in really bad countries. It's called Russian roulette. And really crazy kids do it too. You take a gun and you put one bullet in the barrel, you spin the barrel, and you press the trigger. There's 5 chances out of 6 that nothing will happen. But there's 1 chance out of 6 that something will. And every day that you sit on the fence waiting for these questions to be answered, these unexplainable things to be explained, you wake up, you spin the barrel, and you put the gun to your head. And that's Russian roulette. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I just want you for a period of time to consider the other side. And you know, your gut reaction may be to disagree with me, right? And say, you know, I don't really know. And but here's something that I've observed. Is that most people don't come to know Jesus because their questions are answered. Most people don't come to know Jesus because their question is answered. Most people come to Jesus when it becomes personal. When this God that we've been talking about becomes personal and becomes your God. And you know, the struggle between the unexplainable and the academic versus, you know, it becoming personal, it's nothing new, right? It's been going on forever. All of us have had it. I've had it. Every Christian in here has had it that says, God, I want you to explain it to me. And John, there's a guy named John. He was Jesus' best friend. And he wrote a book, and the book has chapters. And in John chapter 3, John was telling the story about when he observed this man coming to Jesus. And I just want to read that story to you. It's a really simple message, a simple story. And here's a story that John told about a man that came to Jesus. There was a man named Nicodemus. He was a religious leader who also was a Pharisee. After dark, and he came after dark because he was scared of his peers. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. And he said to Jesus, he said, Rabbi, we know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. I want to pause there for a second. Every single one of us, every one of us, have seen evidence that God is working. It's an undeniable fact that every one of us have seen God is working. I was reading this book this week. It's a guy named Trevor Noah. Some of you guys may know him from Comedy Central. And he was telling the story about his mom got shot in a domestic violence. And she had divorced her husband, and she had just gotten remarried to another guy because her husband was abusive and he was an alcoholic and just a really bad guy. And she came home from church one day. She was with her family, with her extended family, her new husband's family. And he showed up with a gun, a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. And he's like, look, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill everybody around you. And he literally opened the gun and he fired. And the first bullet, remember, it's a semi-automatic pistol. So you just keep squeezing the trigger and bullets will just fly. He fired one and it hit her in her butt and she fell down on the ground. And while she was on the ground, he's like, I'm going to finish her first. And he stood up over her and he squeezed the trigger. And all of a sudden, bullets just started flying out of the gun, not out of the barrel. Bullets just kept falling out on the floor. And every time he squeezed it and bullets fell out, he looked at the gun. He's like, why is this gun jamming? And he stood over her again. And he squeezed again and bullets fell out. So she realizing what happened. By the way, in her recounting the story, she said that the entire time she sat down there praying. She's like, God, please don't let me die this way. And she gets up and she runs to the car and she jumps in the car, starts the car. And she hears a loud noise, and then it goes blank. She wakes up in the hospital, and they tell her what happened. He fired a gun through the back of the car, went through the back window, went through the back of the base of her head. On the trajectory it was going to come up and come go through her brain and come out through her eye socket. But something happened and changed the trajectory of the gun, of the bullet as it went into her body, and changed the angle of it, and it popped out between her lip and the tip of her nose. It touched no veins, no arteries, missed her spinal cord, missed her brain, missed everything. She had a bullet through her head, and she was out of the hospital in 4 days and back at work in 7 days. We all know, and we all have heard stories like this. So we've seen the evidence of God working. We've heard people healed from cancer. We've seen the evidence, just like Nicodemus did. Nicodemus heard about Jesus. He heard the teachings about Jesus. Nicodemus came, and he saw Jesus reach down and heal somebody. And Nicodemus couldn't explain it. And so he has all these questions about how are you doing these things? How are you doing this? And he has all these unexplainable, like, I'm not believing until I know how you do it. And so he comes and he starts. He doesn't even ask a question. He says, hey, Jesus, we know that God has sent you to teach us your miraculous sign and evidence or evidence among you. Jesus didn't even let him finish. Jesus stopped him. I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is like, all right, you interrupt me, and then you drop on me something else that's unexplainable. I don't even know what you mean by born again. What is that born again thing? And by the way, anybody who's grown up in church is like, ha ha ha, Nicodemus is so funny. You know? But if you don't grow up in church, or if you're a critical thinker, Nicodemus' next question is a very valid question. It's like, what is this born again thing? So he asked, Nicodemus said, hey, what do you mean? So the logical question, what do you mean? How can an old man, there's this question, how can, why, what if, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And the question started, Nicodemus like, I got so many questions. And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the spirits. Human can only reproduce human life. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to eternal life, to spiritual life. And if I were Nicodemus, I'd be like, what are you talking about, man? None of this makes any sense to me. This is all makes no sense. I can't even explain what you're saying. In your explanation, it is unexplainable. And I don't know how many times people have said, well, the Holy Trinity is like this. And they explain it like, well, you know, there are three parts. It's water, vapor, and what? Like, I don't understand what you're talking about. And Nicodemus is like, I don't know. And so Jesus goes on. And he's like, all right, Nicodemus, forget all of that. But don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. And you know what happened right at that part? Nicodemus was still confused, as any rational person would be. And somebody comes and tells you, you must be born again. And so God continues, Jesus continues, says, you know, the wind blows wherever it wants. And just as you can't hear the wind and you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain. Nobody can explain this, how people are born of the Spirit. Folks, there's just some things that are unexplainable. There's some things that you will not get the answer from, no matter how long you sit on the fence. You can't explain. And then he goes on, and then he goes on, and Nicodemus like, I still don't get it. He's like, how are these things even possible? There's another question. Oh, I don't understand. How can? Why can't? How are these things possible? And then in verse 10 through 15, Jesus goes through this explanation about some earthly things, you know, John 3, some earth things that happen on earth. And then he talks about some things that happen in heaven. And Jesus is going through all of this, and Nicodemus is probably just still, so I don't get it. The unexplainable is not being explained. And then Jesus says this. If you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? You see, many of us sit now and we see things that are happening on earth right in front of us. And we refuse to believe that God is in this, that Jesus is in this. And if you refuse to see what's in front of you, what is undeniable, then how can you possibly open up your mind to see something that is so much greater than that? And you know, Nicodemus was focused. He spent his entire time focused on the unexplainable and wanting it to be explained. He was focusing on the academic. He wanted to understand before he believed. And Jesus was like, no, that's not really what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on the undeniable. You know, and you know, so Nicodemus was focused on apologetics. He was focused on all these other things. And then Jesus, I like Jesus, he just like, okay, Nicodemus, forget that for a second. If I could boil this down to one thing for you, here's what I boil it down to. And this is a story. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that anyone, including you, Nick, who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus was like, this is what Nicodemus would have heard. God so loved you, Nick, that he said that he sent me, the person that you're looking for. That Nick, if you put your trust in me and you put your faith in me right here that you can see, that you've seen the evidence of, you, Nick, will not go to hell, because I don't really want you to go to hell, because that place that you're headed is a place that I've reserved for Satan and the people who followed him. That place was not designed for humans, Nick. See, I came, so if you trust in me, you won't go there, but you will be with me, having life after this game of life is over. And Nicodemus, right there, at that point, he said, Nicodemus, I don't want you to think that this is a get out of hell free card, because I'm not talking about hell. Because he said, you know, the reason I came is not to condemn people to that place. I don't want anybody to go there. But I came so that you and you and you and you and you and you can be saved through me. A little while later, Jesus is talking, and he's, you know, he's undoubtedly some of the same crowd is there. In seven chapters later, he says, look, you know, about that eternal life thing, by the way, If you trust in me, you will have life here on this earth. The New Living Translation says, a rich and satisfying life. He's like, that's what I'm promising you. But you know, back to Nicodemus, right then and right there, all of a sudden, Nicodemus was faced with a decision. He was faced with a decision. Am I going to focus on the unexplainable and the academic, or am I going to focus on the undeniable and make it personal? And Nicodemus, all those questions that he's had in his head, I believe that really that's where some of us are today. This whole Christianity thing, following after the God and Jesus being spirit, and I don't really know, how can he be spirit, and why does he let all these things happen? And you could go on and on and on all day and drive yourself crazy with all these questions. But at the end of the day, there are really only two questions you need to ask, because after that, everything else will make. And the question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? You see, because when we focus, most of us spend our time there focused on the unexplainable and the academic, and Jesus is like, look, I don't want you to focus less on that. As a matter of fact, for a moment here, don't even focus on it at all, right? What I want you to focus more on is this, what's undeniable. What is undeniable and what is indeed personal? And so the question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And here's what's undeniable. A little bit over 2,000 years ago. This is fact upon fact upon fact. You can verify it independently. 2,000 years ago, a man comes on the scene, and he comes on the scene and he lives a life that fulfilled 353 prophecies over 1,000 years. That is a fact. It's a fact that this man says, look, you guys are going to kill me, and I'm going to raise myself up in 3 days. That is undeniable. It is unexplainable, but it's also undeniable. He says, I am going to raise myself in 3 days. That's a fact. The fact is that nobody believed that he could do it, but just in case, they put a stone in front of his tomb. That is a fact recorded by the historian Josephus, who wasn't even a Christian. He's just a historian. It's a fact that on the third day, an angel rolled the stone away and there was nobody there. That is a fact. Unless you think that I've made that up. He appeared to 12 different groups of people in the days following. A group ranging from one person to over 500 people. That is an undeniable fact. It's unexplainable. You can ask, how did he do this, all this? That is unexplainable, but it's also undeniable. It's a fact that Jesus wasn't, they weren't seeing a ghost. What they saw was a person, because it was a fact that people doubted. And he said, look, put your hand right here. And so Thomas touched a person. That is a fact, independently verifiable by eyewitnesses. It's also a fact that ghosts don't eat food. You know, people put out food for ghosts and then they come back in the following morning. I don't know what they think, if the ghosts eat out the nutrients out of the food and leave the rest of the food there. They leave out, or some kids come by at night and steal it. I don't know. It's the fact that Jesus had a meal. All those are undeniable facts. But at the end of the day, it comes down to this. Who is Jesus? To you. Who is Jesus to me? Because all that means a hill of beans until we answer that question personally. Who is Jesus? And that's when it becomes personal. Who is Jesus to me? And that question that Jesus asked Peter is a question that Jesus asks in every one of us today. He's meeting with Peter, another one of his close friends, a disciple. He says, Peter, who do people say that I am? And if I ask everybody in this room, hey, Donna, hey, Alicia, hey, Ingrid, hey, Myron, hey, who do people say Jesus is? And some say he's a great prophet. Some say he's a good teacher. Some say he's a good man. That's academic. The question is that he asked Peter, he says, but Peter, who do you say that I am? Ingrid, who do you say that Jesus is? Alicia, who do you say Jesus is? Because at that point, it becomes personal. Then, the second question is, what now? After you've addressed that first question, what now? The undeniable is the undeniable. There are undeniable facts. But you see, it's not about that. It's really about who do you say that Jesus is? And what now? See, my encouragement to you today is to answer that question because Jesus already made his move. The next move is yours. The next move is yours. I'm inviting you today to make it personal and answer like Jesus. You're Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The fact is, your 2017 and beyond will be unbelievable, unexplainable when you make it personal. And embrace the most basic of them all and make the best decision that you could ever make. In a few moments, we're going to have communion. But before I do that, I just want to spend two or three more minutes. And as you're pondering the best decision, there's a second best decision ever that some of us here are sitting on. And you know, when because many of you have made the first decision, but you haven't made the second decision. The second decision is to get baptized. And what's you know, baptism is symbolic. It's really we take a person, and it's how they've done it for years and years, centuries, and it's how Jesus was baptized, and you go down underneath the water. So we hold you, go down, and we lift you up. And it's symbolic. It says that, hey, I'm kind of telling the world that I'm out of my old self and now I'm identifying with Christ. It's like, you hear me say it before, it's like when I wear a ring, I tell the world I'm with her. It's like people are like, who, where's Donna? Just imagine she's right there for a second. I'm with her. And when she wears a ring, she's saying to the world, I'm with him. And it says that it's identity. And many people in this room, or some people in this room, or maybe one person in this room, or maybe none, you know where you are like Nicodemus who's coming to Jesus after dark. And Jesus says, hey, look, I want you to come out into the light. I want you to tell the whole world, I'm with him. I'm with him. And I tell you, that's the second best decision ever that you can make by saying to the world, I'm with him. I'm with him. Yep, I'm with him. And to get baptized. To close off the story of Nicodemus, you know, Nicodemus, I was wondering, right? Well, did Nicodemus really get to make it personal? And Nicodemus did. In John chapter 19, chapter 19 of the book of John, after Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus and a man named Joseph of Arimathea, they made it public. They went to the man who allowed Jesus to be dead, the man who knew everything, and they said, Pilate, we want Jesus' body. They made it public. And I'm going to ask you today, as I pray, if God's tugging at your heart to make the second best decision ever, to make it public, and to stand up and be counted and say, I'm with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for, Lord, the fact that you didn't promise that you'd explain everything to us, but it is an undeniable fact that there is evidence and there is something special about you that nobody else can claim. Lord, and it's a fact that you have promised a rich and satisfying life, an abundant life, a life to the full. It's a fact that those of us who have done it know that it's true, that our 2017 and beyond is really better than the dates that we got saved in before. Lord, I just pray that today, that if there's somebody sitting here who has not made the best decision ever, that they'll embrace the most basic of it all and embrace you and say, Jesus, I don't get it, I don't understand it, but I choose to make it personal and I choose to trust. And if there is anybody who have not yet, they're coming to Jesus by dark, and they want to identify in public that says, I'm with him, that they'll make that decision today. In Jesus' name, amen. As I walk down to share communion with you, one of the best parts about being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is relationship. You get an incredible, incredible relationship. And I'm actually going to turn this off here for a second so it doesn't. And you get this incredible relationship. And the cool thing about relationship is that relationship involves communication. And so it involves praying, as you're kind of talking to God and listening, and God talking to you, but it also includes eating. The best part about, a good part about a relationship is sharing a meal and eating together. And God has promised us this awesome relationship. And if you this morning have made a decision for the first time to follow Jesus, I would like to serve you communion as we serve everybody else. I'm going to ask you to be bold and take a step and come to the front and come stand with me. And if that's the best decision ever, and if you want to say, I'm with him, and you've never publicly made a decision to get baptized, I also want you to join me up front. Because this that we do here is first and foremost about remembering Jesus' death and his sacrifice for us and his resurrection, that we can have this wonderful tomorrow. But it's also a reminder that we're with him. We're with him. So as I'm praying, I'm going to pray for this. I invite you that if you want to get baptized or you want to tell the world that, hey, I just made a decision for Jesus, just come and stand up here with me. And we'll share communion together. Let's pray. Invitation is open. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's an undeniable fact that there are some unexplainable things about you. Lord, it's an undeniable fact that you want to make it real and you want to make it personal. Lord, it's an undeniable fact that you love us so much. Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I thank you for this man who stands up beside me, Lord Jesus. Lord, I love this man like I love my own son, because he's like one of my own sons, Lord Jesus. And it burns and it pleases my heart to see him stand up and say, I'm with him. Hallelujah. As we eat this bread, we just want to thank you, and this wine, we just want to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, the remembrance part of this thing is that really on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, unleavened bread, and he broke it up. These are pre-broken to pieces, and he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. As you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same thing with the wine. He says, this kind of represents my blood. It's a new covenant. It's a new agreement that I have with you. That all the things that I just talked about the rich and the satisfying life, and about him being with us, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's like, I'm with you. So as often as you do this, you do this in remembrance of me. I'm going to ask us to just kind of take the bread and the wafer. This symbol, as a bread lover, and I say, this is not bread. But it's so much more symbolic than just that. Let's eat together. I'm going to ask that you take this wine or this grape juice, which is symbolic of Jesus' blood. And let's just drink together. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you so much that you've revealed yourself to us in undeniable ways and you've made it personal. That God so loved Gary Wallace. God so loved Andrew. God so loved that he gave. That if we trust, we won't go to that place. That's not for us anyway. But we'll have a rich and satisfying life in this thing called life. And we'll have a blessed eternity for tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just rise as we just sing this song in closing, man? Love you, man. We'll talk afterwards. So you can get back. Yeah, you can. We're going to have a baptism really, really soon, and we're going to baptize Andrew. And if you want to say, I'm with him, I want you to come see me, and we'll make you part of that. Within the next couple weeks, we'll have that. Let's just sing, and Ingrid will dismiss you at the right time.
You take our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord.